three-word answer. That's a reach. Somebody is trying to peddle this garbage to some prominent national writers.
Buccaneers fans, we are back with the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. And you know, Ira, before I give the rest of your names and your formal introduction as Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman podcast, I got to ask you, how is that cherry red 2020 Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford? How much are you loving that thing? And of course, the nationwide lifetime warranty that comes with it.
Stevie, it's one of the best decisions I ever made. Was when the lease expired, you know, what do? Switch vehicles, get another lease? No. We go in, we talk to the man himself, Sean Sullivan. Sean, what do you think? Well, do you like the vehicle? Yeah, we love it. Well, then stick with it and buy it. Well, make me a deal. All right, sit down. 10 minutes later, Sean signs off on it. And the next thing I know, I'm driving out of there. I'm the owner. It's not a lease. It's fantastic. And look, we joked about this feature, and it's got a million features on it. But Lee, over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, it sure was nice to get behind the wheel and have a couple of bun warmers for my wife and I, Lee. By the time we got to where we were going, our high knees were in full gear, full bloom. Is that too much information? Is that too much information, DeKemper? Too much?
Not really.
Ira, all I'll say is back in 85, you and your wife didn't need any bun warmers. You did it yourselves.
Well, I'm in my 60s now, Steve. Well, what are you going to do?
All right, Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you start shopping. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan, is the host and our draft guru at JoeBucksFan.com. He hosts the Best in Class podcast. Both of his Senior Bowl preview episodes are up on the website. And, of course, you can find Best in Class with Sean Sullivan at various podcast platforms. I highly recommend, if I have to pick one, I'm going with the second one, Ira, Sean's preview of the wide receivers and cornerbacks and linebackers. Very informative offensive linemen. I enjoyed it. Highly recommend it. Sean Sullivan, you can find him at Bill Curry Ford, and he will give you the Ira Kaufman discount and also just help you. If you got a question and you need honest advice, he will help you anytime. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. We take that very seriously. Big Storm Beer, best craft beer in Florida, hands down. They're coming into New Jersey for our six New Jersey listeners. They are coming there later this month, and they're really taking over, as Ira likes to say. BigStormBrewery.com. You can see the menu at the tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, Cape Coral, and at the Amway Center in Orlando, which is open 7 days a week. Even though it's at the Amway Center, you can access it. Gorgeous facility. Big Storm Beer. Ira, this is a very special podcast for the King of Newport, Richie, because Tom Brady's gone. It is official now. And after a lot of innuendo and back and forth and media nonsense, the bottom line is it's real. We found out this morning. And the Bucs franchise is at a crossroads. Ira, I'll just open the floor for you. And then, of course, we'll get to the man himself, Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com. What's up, Ira?
Steve, I can't say I'm surprised. And I think I speak for the three of us. I was on with the Mad Dog last Wednesday. He asked me on my Brady meter, is he staying or is he going? I told him for the first time, I thought the meter tilted more towards retirement. I just felt that way. That was before the Lock and Forer report came out on Friday, reinforced by the ESPN reports. And a lot of Buck fans, Steve, let's be honest, when they heard from Brady's parents and they heard from the Bucks that they hadn't been informed about anything from Brady, and they thought he still hadn't made his decision. A lot of Buck fans, they couldn't wait to declare, you know, the ESPN reporters wrong, and there was a big belief that Brady was staying to play in the 2022 season. Lee and I talked about it on Saturday. We both thought the reports were ultimately going to be correct, and I'll tell you why, Steve, because we never heard from Brady himself on Saturday. He could have refuted it. I don't care that he's out of the country. That's no issue. That's no factor. He could have issued a statement. He did. So where does that leave our favorite football team, gentlemen? Well, as I said to Jason Light today, you got a team that's 29-10 with a Vince Lombardi trophy the last two seasons. You got a lot of very good players that are in their prime, like a Mike Evans and a Levante David. And is that really the time to hand the keys, Lee, to the franchise, to an inexperienced quarterback? Now, out of respect for our listeners, I never mentioned Kyle Trask. And, of course, I wasn't talking about Blaine Gabbert, certainly. And, Lee, you know, it was tough getting anything concrete out of Light. It was hard. And while he didn't say that Trask is the heir apparent, anything but that, he did indicate that they're going to pull out all the stops to get the best possible guy in their opinion. Lee, I don't see any way around this. You got to get somebody proven. It doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers. It could even be Jimmy Garoppolo, God forbid, or Cousins or whatever. But, Lee, the Glazers would not let Kyle Trask be the quarterback of the 2022 Bucks. That's not going to happen, Lee.
I don't think it's going to happen, but if he earns it, why not? But that's a big if. We haven't seen the guy throw a pass since last August, you know. So who knows what kind of level he's playing at, or should I say practicing at. He was never active for any regular season game. Leftwich being Leftwich, he was beating his chest about how Kyle Trask does so many things like you expect a professional to do. He's impressive, and he'd have no issue ever went on the field, but the way he carries himself in the building, they asked Leftwich, can you give me a couple examples? No, I'd rather keep it to myself. So we have no clue. I don't know if the guy's the next Brady. I don't know if the guy's the next Mike Glennon. I have no idea. Nobody does, outside of the people who actually work directly with the Bucks. But Light, and I'm not saying this as a critique in any way. Light was kind of all over the map. In one respect, he was saying they're going to go out and get the best available quarterback. Then the next moment, he was saying, well, we think we have a good enough team and an experienced enough team and a winning team that can actually carry the quarterback if need be. Well, that screams Teddy Bridgewater material. That just screams, you know, we'll get someone in here who has experience, and in a tight situation, we've got the guys that can carry the quarterback. I didn't exactly like that, but you know what? This organization in the last 2 years has built street cred with me to whatever they do, I'm going to put trust in them. They've earned it. They've earned the trust. I will give them the benefit of the doubt because they have earned it. You know, they got street cred. They got a Super Bowl. They got a division title. Couple bounces of the ball, they could probably be playing in a Super Bowl in 2 weeks. If they think Garoppolo, if God forbid they think Teddy Bridgewater, if they think Kirk Cousins, whatever, if that's what they think, I'll run with it. And I hope they do prove me wrong. But I don't foresee that, like you, Ira. I don't see that as a winning formula.
Steve, here's the way I look at the good and the bad. The good. There might be some veteran quarterbacks available through trade. There might be. In fact, there will be. Here's some bad, Steve. The draft is going to be no factor. They don't have any draft capital move up, and I don't think there's any quarterback out there they're really into that they think's probably better than Trask. And here's the other negative, Steve, and it's a big one. They ain't the only team that's looking for a quarterback. Far from it. We can wrap off four names, five names, maybe six. They're going to be in a competitive situation. And then it's up to the other team who they can get the best deal out of. And maybe if they need the veteran quarterback's permission to agree to a trade, Steve, then it could come down to where the guy thinks the best talent is. And, Steve, let's face it. It's only a matter of a couple of weeks before Gronkowski drops out. I think we could all agree on that. We don't know when Godwin will be available, if they bring him back, when he'll be available. So, Steve, all these targets that the Bucks once had, it's about to be ripped to shreds a little bit. And some of these younger guys, I think you could chalk it up to Brady making them look better than they are. So they're going to need a tight end and another receiver at this point.
Well, Sage, my focus is on the quarterback with Brady leaving. And I agree with Lee in the sense that I trust the organization. There's no way that I can't trust Bruce Arians and his crew that he has there I'm assuming at this point, for now, that Leftwich is coming back, as well as Tom Moore, as well as Clyde Christensen. It's a fantastic quarterback incubator. And I got to trust with who they go with, whether that's Teddy Bridgewater or that's Kyle Trask. Look, we've seen in modern football, I'll throw Andy Dalton out there. Second round pick, came in, first season, he was a Pro Bowler, put his team in the playoffs. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo as a second round pick have a lot of success when he finally got a chance. And we've seen Derek Carr come in 2014 and have a very strong rookie season. So you know what? I can't just say, well, Kyle Trask isn't ready. There's evidence that guys have been ready as rookies. And here's Trask after getting a chance to be in this system for a year. Maybe he can play. We just don't know. So I can't agree that the Glazers won't sign off on that. If he's any good, put him out there. Because they should, if they handle it right, they should be able to have a top 10 defense again. And if you can have a good offensive line and a top 10 defense and your division sucks like the NFC South does, well, maybe you can get Trask to 10 wins if he's good. And maybe he's playing better at the end of the year. So I don't know. I can't say that the Glazers won't go for that, Ira, but I think they'd love to get a big name in here because they don't want to screw up Bruce Arians' legacy, and they don't want to miss the window here that they probably still believe they have to win a title next season. You just need to win the division, get better through the year, and you have a shot in the tournament.
Very well opined, Mr. Hizbitz, but I don't agree with your premise that the Bucks figure to have a top 10 defense. Lee, I don't see it that way. I think JPP is likely to be gone. We don't know about Sue. Carlton Davis could be a free agent. Lavonte David's a year older. I'm not sure this is a top 10 defense. Shaq Barrett may not be quite as good as we thought he was. Lee, he's a little bit up and down for a guy making that much money. I think they need an influx of some talent on that defensive side. I'm not convinced Joe Tryon's going to be an impact player. I'm not saying he was a bad draft pick. Not saying that. But he's got to take it to the next level, Lee. So I don't agree as far as the top 10 defense. Now, Lee, I'm about to drop a nugget here, which you always like. And I've changed my mind a little bit. I have changed my mind. And on February 1st, I believe Bruce Arians will be the head coach of the Bucks, regardless of the quarterback scenario. Bruce Arians, I believe, will be back. Last week, I said he would not be back if it's Kyle Trask or Blaine Gabbert. I've changed my mind a little bit. Lee, the more I think about it, I think in his mind, no matter who's under center, they're going to win that division. And I don't really think he's wrong about that. This is the best team in the division. I'm not scared of Matt Ryan. So, Lee, I think that's enough to color Arians' decision. Looks like he might have his coaching staff intact for the most part. So I've changed my mind. I think Arians definitely will be back for the Buccaneers.
Hey, Lee, can I ask Ira a couple of questions real quick?
Yeah, I was just going to make you sound smart, Steve. I was just going to say, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect the Bucs could have a top 10 defense. They're losing JPP, but if you think about it, what did he do this past year?
Exactly. Ira, he was gone this year. Come on, man. Yeah. 2.5 sacks.
So you're losing JPP name only. What are you losing? You're not losing anything. So, yeah, they keep Carlton Davis. They keep Sue. But I still think, I don't think Steve's off base. At all. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I would expect them, if they're healthy, to be in top 10. My issue is, what the whole focus of this podcast is probably going to be, is quarterback. If Bridgewater's quarterback, let's say, does Godwin want to come back? Does Ryan Jensen want to come back? Does playoff Lenny want to come back? So unless they get a named quarterback, you know, a proven successful quarterback, I don't know if those guys are going to want to come back. Now, maybe they do if Trask is the quarterback. Again, we have not seen what Trask has done the past year in practices. If those guys think Trask is the guy, maybe they do come back.
Sage, let me throw you this on the quarterback. And Lee stole my thunder, but I was going to say, hey, you know, JPP really wasn't there this year, missed a lot of games, 2.5 sacks. I think they could be just as good as they were this year on defense. Think of all those cornerback injuries. you know, with a couple of tweaks and maybe somebody in the draft for some better depth. Yes. For better depth. I mean, they allowed the fifth fewest points in the league this year. I think they could be top 10 again. But that's just me, Sage. We respect your genius. You are the Sage of Tampa Bay sports. You dropped a nugget. I have a feeling this was an Adam Schefter-style nugget, Ira, that you're dropping this nugget with some knowledge without telling us.
It's my instincts, gentlemen. I live by my instincts, and I live by my appetite. Both have served me very well over the years, gentlemen.
And you live by your intel. We know who you talk to.
So, Sage, but speaking of the quarterback, I'm going to defend Bridgewater and explain Bridgewater in two sentences here. First, the reason Bridgewater is out there as a name is Bruce Arians expressed his love for Bridgewater. You know, it was clear that the organization liked him and he was like their second choice and Jameis was number three. And Bridgewater signed with Carolina. So the boss has evaluated his film already and liked him. And Bridgewater this year, the reality is he was 7-6 as a starter and he got knocked out with a concussion, diving for a first down, driving for the lead against the Bengals in that game that the Broncos eventually lost and the Broncos fell apart with Drew Lock at quarterback. So I think there's enough of a sales pitch out there from the head coach. We trust him. Lee and I trust the guy. If Bruce Arians makes the sales pitch to Godwin and says, look, man, this guy's played for some crappy offensive coaches. He's good. Let me show you some film, and he's going to be phenomenal in this offense. I think they'll buy the sales pitch. So I think that's why it's out there.
Well, Bridgewater is an interesting subject. If he takes the snaps week one, I don't have any reason to doubt they're going to win the division. I don't. Mm. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. But, Lee, can he take you where you want to go? That's a question. He's been on seven teams, and they have concluded that he is not the answer. I mean, that's a fact. They've moved on from him, just like the Niners are about to move on from Jimmy G. And who knows that? Jimmy G knows it, you know, so everybody knows that Trey Lance is coming in next year and Jimmy G's moving on. And Bridgewater's not, he wouldn't be bad as a stopgap, Lee, but ultimately, Mr. DeKemper, when is this franchise going to have a young quarterback to build around for an extended period that's really got the bona fides to really get the job done? It is really shocking. They've been playing since 76, Lee. And they just have never drafted and developed that guy. It's hard to believe.
To calm down Bucks fans, when you bring up that ugly fact, Ira, neither have the Bears. And the Bears have been around a whole lot longer than the Bucks. Ira, you know your NFL history better than I do. When is the last time a quarterback has been on his fourth team in four seasons, led that fourth team to anything in the playoffs? I can't recall one. And I'm not saying that has not happened. I just can't recall one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you can win with him, Steve. Can you win the big one with Bridgewater? I don't know. It would certainly be a stretch to think you can.
There's a few ways to look at it. Lee, I'll throw Brad Johnson out there as a guy who I think when he got to the Bucks, it was his third team in 4 years. Not quite the same.
Yeah, not fourth team.
No, right. No, not fourth team. But so what? Bridgewater was with the Jets when he was rehabbing, sort of signed in as a backup. And he, from what Anthony Becht I've heard say, I think he might have told me personally on the phone last year when we were having a chat about that. Maybe it was on radio. I don't remember. But Anthony Becht, who's tied to the Jets organization, works for them. He had sort of said from what he saw that season when Bridgewater was there with Todd Bowles was that you know, Bridgewater was just brought in as a low contract. Maybe this guy's coming back from injury, but he was the best quarterback there. But he wasn't planned to be the starter, and they just got rid of him. So he goes to New Orleans, and he wasn't going to replace Drew Brees. And then he got a big contract in Carolina, which is a mess. They sent him over to Denver, and he played pretty well. And so it's a weird situation, but, I mean, a lot of people say Todd Bowles, you can't knock his record with the Jets because they're a crappy organization. Well, the Jets also got rid of Bridgewater, so I almost have to, if I buy the Bowles line of thinking, then the Jets don't know what they're doing, and they let him walk out. So I don't know. It's a weird situation. But no one thinks the guy's a Pro Bowl star. Like Ira said, he's a stopgap. I'm just saying I would trust Arians if Arians thinks that's the guy he wants to end his career with.
Ira, I want your feedback on this. No one knows Bridgewater, you know, outside of Sean Payton, outside of Bowles, better than the Broncos organization. If they thought he was the answer, would Vic Fangio be looking for a job now?
You got a point, Lee. And Lee, I want to ask you this because I think I know how you're going to answer it. And I think it's the big question in the room that really it's hard to quantify, Lee, but you've talked about it many times. Lee, when you lose a Tom Brady and you go to a Bridgewater or a Derek Carr, well, you know, they can spin the ball. They can avoid a sack. But, Lee, what Brady brought to everybody in that locker room every day on the practice field with the leadership and the commitment, you can't replace that, Lee. You can't replace it. No. So everybody was like playing at maximum effort, and it's hard to believe that's going to happen again this fall.
And I'm not going to name names. I think we all know who I could be talking about. There were players that he kind of wondered, were they always giving it their all? Were they maxing out their potential? Were they playing up to where they were drafted or even what they were paid? Brady comes in, they were changed players. Is that same standard of play from those guys going to be there without Brady? Because Brady was Brady. You know, crap got real, so to speak, when Brady walked in that building. And in a sense, I'm not saying he did this, but in a sense, there's sort of fear of God with Brady. That if you didn't get the job done, you're going to be out, period. End of sentence. No discussion. Well, someone less than Brady comes in, is they going to command the same respect? I don't think so. Are those same players going to play to the level that they played under Brady? And I think that's a ripple effect. I really do.
And Steve, I know it's complicated and there were a lot of factors, but a fact's a fact. When Brady left the Patriots, they basically fell apart. I don't expect the Bucs to fall apart, but you're going to miss him on an everyday basis, Steve, in terms of him lifting the expectations and the standard of everybody around him. You can't replace that, Steve.
Sage, talking about all of that Tom Brady greatness and his legendary attention to detail makes me think of Florida's Elite Restoration and how they service homeowners and businesses all over the Tampa Bay area, including businesses that service homeowners like property managers, air conditioning companies, plumbers. If you need disaster services at your property, you need to reach out to Florida's Elite Restoration. They'll work with you. Owner Josh Martin is happy to meet with companies to show how he honestly deals with consumers and businesses every single day of the week in their family-owned business. And of course, you can call them 24/7 if you're a homeowner with a problem.
If you even think that you might have a problem with mold in your home, your first call has to go to Florida's Elite Restoration. That call has to come before you call the insurance company. Florida's Elite Restoration, they'll come over, and the key is, if it's not a big deal, they'll tell you that. They won't create a big deal out of something minor. Florida's Elite Restoration, your first call for any mold concerns whatsoever.
Florida's EliteRestoration.com is where to go to get information right now about all their services for water damage, flood, mold, storm damage, whatever it might be. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first phone call, just like you said there, Ira. No, Ira, you can't replace all those intangibles related to Brady. I mean, they're mind-boggling, they're legendary, and that's just how it is. But Garoppolo is an interesting option. And I want your feedback, Ira. I really don't believe that John Lynch would trade him within the conference. I don't know why they would do that, especially when there are teams in the AFC interested in a quarterback. Maybe his buddy Mike Tomlin would love to have him, and I'm sure he'd love to send him to the AFC, even if it means getting a less of a draft pick. But Garoppolo's interesting because, one, he's thrown footballs to Rob Gronkowski and touchdowns. And practiced with him for 3.5 years. So maybe Garoppolo coming, maybe he's the one guy who could convince Gronk to stay, because Gronk would have a familiarity and a trust. That's possible. Number two, Garoppolo is probably the only guy, quarterback, who could come in here and understand what the players on the roster have lost. He would understand what Tom Brady did on a daily basis and the standard that's been set, and that's what he grew up under. And I'm not saying he's Tom Brady, but I'm saying that at least he could understand how he has to change himself a little bit or try to live up to that standard and get it. I don't know if anybody else would get it because, like you said, Brady's leadership is so phenomenal. So that's why I like Garoppolo.
You know, Garoppolo, Lee, you got to say this. The guy's record, which to me, you know, is the number one characteristic of a quarterback, is the team's record with him under center. I mean, he's got a very good record in a short period of time. You know, it's a running offense. They got a good defense, good coaching over there. He does. But the fact is, you know, the team wins with him. And if you guys think the Bucs have a top 10 defense and Fournette comes back and you're not going to ask the guy to throw 700 passes, Lee, like Brady, 700. I mean, I still can't get my arms around that number. It's just phenomenal. Only one guy thrown more, I believe it was Stafford, 1 year in Detroit. 1 year in the history of football. I think the offense would be totally different under Garoppolo. I don't think it would take a lot to get him. And as far as Steve's point about trading them in the NFC, I'm not sure that would be a major factor, Lee. If the Bucs have a competitive offer, I think they got as good a chance to get him as anybody.
You know, Steve made a great point. I didn't even think about that, about the interconference. Because, you know, the 49ers right now, what, two championship games in 3 years? Why would they want to give the Bucs ammunition and maybe overtake them to get back to a Super Bowl? I think that's a very real obstacle, and I didn't think of that. But that's a major obstacle because the Niners are ready to win. The Bucs are ready to win. All depends who the quarterback is. So that would be like, you know, the Bucs, for whatever reason, would trade Levante David. Would they trade him to San Francisco? Would they trade him to the Rams or anybody else that they might have to see in the playoffs, in the NFC playoffs?
Lee, aren't you pumping up Garoppolo's value as far as John Lynch is concerned? John Lynch is the guy that looked at him and said, we're drafting Trey Lance. So, you know, I don't think he looks at Garoppolo as the guy that's going to put the Bucs over the top, Lee.
The Packers drafted a first-round quarterback to take over Brett Favre, and they had a real shot of trading him to the Bucs. And the reason why that did not happen at the last moment was the Bucs were in the same conference as the Packers, and the Packers didn't want to face Favre in the playoffs.
But, Lee, that's Brett Favre, Lee. It's Brett Favre, you know, to be fair. You're not going to put Garoppolo in the same category.
No, but still, an obstacle is an obstacle. I mean, John Lynch knows the Bucs are a quarterback away from making another run at the Super Bowl. I've been pro-Garoppolo, but now that I think about that, I can't see Lynch doing that. He's not a dumb guy. I don't think that's trivial at all. I'm not saying Lynch won't trade Garoppolo to the Bucs.
If the Bucs trump everybody else, I don't think the NFC thing would stop Lynch. And besides, even if I agreed with his bits, you know, I'm not gonna come on this podcast and agree with him. You two guys have too much pride. But at this point, let's just take 45 seconds, and I would like you guys to repeat that tweet that I believe Steve put out this week. Steve, what was that thing about 3 million visitors to the website? I think our fans need to know that.
January, 3 million pages viewed on the website on JoeBucksFan.com for January 2022, which is pretty cool. We broke 3 million last year. I think it was in January as well, but a little more unexpected this year. And thank you, Tom Brady, for all the drama, which fueled the stretch run for the week. So, hey, I know you like those kinds of numbers, Sage, but that's pretty cool. And it keeps us in top dog status, that's for sure, around these parts. Even if they don't call on me on Zoom press conferences, Ira, it doesn't matter. The people have spoken.
Steve, why don't you ask me the question you were going to ask Jason Light? Go ahead.
Oh, that's a good one, Ira. Very good one. And then we'll close out the podcast on that, Sage. Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you got to start shopping. Don't be ridiculous. Bill Curry Ford. You can order a new vehicle now with no deposit. Just call Sean Sullivan. No deposit. You can order your vehicle. They'll have it within 4 months and maybe sooner. So a very cool opportunity right now at Bill Curry Ford. All right, Ira, let me pull up my question here. Because what happened was, this week, Ira, very big story that no one is writing about or talking about, but I am committed to getting to the bottom of this. Peter King, Colin Coward, Seth Wickersham, Adam Schefter, all of them went public saying that one reason, or part of the reason, not the major reason, but part of the reason Tom Brady left the Buccaneers and retired is because he didn't have faith that the front office would put together a championship roster for 2022, and that he had soured a little bit on the coaching style of Bruce Arians. And some of them said he didn't really sour on it, but he started to appreciate Bill Belichick's way more versus a different kind of style from Arians, things a little more looser, less disciplined. And so his love for Arians maybe fell down a notch or two. Not that he doesn't like him. But those are very strong words when you say that, hey, part of the reason Brady left is he didn't like the Bucs. And these guys are coming out and saying that. And I thought it was a very important point because I think it's a bunch of crap, Ira. I don't believe it. I think Brady's smart enough to realize, hey, we just won 22 out of 27 games and a Super Bowl. That's pretty darn rare. You know, I'm not so egotistical enough to think that this team isn't good when we were one play away from beating the Rams. But anyway, Sage, I was going to ask Jason Light about that, but I didn't get the chance. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll walk into the sit in the GM chair and answer you directly, Stephen. Three-word answer. That's a reach. Somebody is trying to peddle this garbage to some prominent national writers. Of course, you don't get the source. It's probably the same source. We're hearing that that's part of the reason. Now, Steve, to be fair, none of them are saying that's the driving force behind Brady's decision. Thank God they're not saying that. But I'm not buying it at all, Lee. And I don't think you are either. What Tom Brady wants in reshaping this roster, Tom Brady's going to get. What do you mean he's soured on Arians? That's nuts. He's thriving under Arians. He's letting his personality come out when he felt absolutely constricted in Foxborough. Is he pissed off they lost a Rams game? Yeah, he's pissed off. But they didn't play particularly well. Tristan Wirfs wasn't there. He'll be back next season. I'm not buying it. What do you mean he doesn't have faith that this team's going to be competitive? Look at the division they're in, Lee. You walk out there, you're going to win 9 games, 10 games on the season. You're going to win that division. Nonsense.
I'm inclined not to believe it. It smells like you said, Ira, Don Yee is putting that out there to pacify some of the people, you know, like, oh, why would Brady leave? Why would he do this? Number one, I know that the Bucs involved Brady in damn near everything. They were very inclusive with Brady. They would always go up to him. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? They wanted him to be part of decision-making. They wanted him to be part of developing game plans. Hell, they would always go up to Brady, and they did this with Jameis, too. What are you comfortable with? What are you not comfortable with? If you're not comfortable with something, we will exclude it from the game plan. We know, we've seen it with our own eyes. We know Brady had power over the offensive game plan and the play calling. Hell, we saw it the first week of the season when Brady shook off a play that Leftwich turned in. We saw a close-up, NBC, him yelling no and shaking his head when a play call came in. Brady was looking at his wristband, play calls. He looked at the wristband, looked at Leftwich and yelled no and shook his head back and forth. So that's why I don't buy it. We know that the Bucs didn't do a damn thing offensively if Brady didn't want it. So that is complete and total BS. Was Brady not happy with the practice schedule? Maybe that Arians had too many walkthroughs. Maybe that irritated him. I can't say that is not true. But is that 30% of the reason why he's retiring? I doubt it. I doubt it. But I know the Bucks were very inclusive with Brady. I had a guy with the Bucks tell me, why wouldn't they be? Remember when Aaron Rodgers was whining about the Packers wouldn't include him in decisions, and he damn near didn't play for him this past year because of that? And I had a guy with the Bucks tell me, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you include him? Why wouldn't you want feedback from the guy? We know they went to Brady and asked him about certain players. Hell, didn't Arians even have Brady scout wide receivers? How is that not inclusive?
Steve, isn't it crazy, Steve, that we are sitting here mulling over and trying to analyze a suggestion that Tom Brady didn't have enough input in the organization? How crazy is that, Steve?
Just to clarify, the reports weren't that he didn't have enough input. The reports were that he lost confidence that they'd be able to put together a championship roster, whether that was salary, whether that was loss of confidence in the front office. When I say salary, I mean salary cap issues. Whatever it is, that was the report. Not that he didn't have enough hand in it, just that he just didn't think they'd be able to do it again, you know, which is kind of a dig at the front office when obviously Brady came here because he liked the roster. So why would he lose confidence? The only thing I can put, Ira, on the other side of the scale, and I agree with you guys completely, but on the other side of the scale, I guess there's at least a chance that Tom Brady did not like how the Antonio Brown situation ended. And of course, we saw the ending of the Antonio Brown situation, but it clearly was something that was brewing for weeks. And maybe there was a clash there. Maybe Brady told them, look, I'll handle it. Just let me handle it. And I guess it bubbled over. Maybe that's possible that he saw the writing on the wall. Maybe Leonard Fournette told him, hey, man, I'm going for the bag next year. I'm getting paid. You know, this is my last hurrah. Tommy, I'll give you everything I had. I don't know. But it's at least possible that Antonio Brown had something to do with this.
Well, I'll use the words that Lee DeKemper used 20 minutes ago, and I think it's apropos. In Brady's eyes, shouldn't the Bucks have enough street cred for him to think that they're going to handle the offseason in an outstanding manner? Well, wouldn't you think so, Lee?
Yeah, who expected them to bring every starter back?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, as Lee said, as you guys said, they would have let Brady have plenty of input into what that looked like. So I don't buy it, Ira, but I think it's a big story when you have all those guys, like I said, Peter King, Coward, Schefter, saying this, and Schefter is buddies with Jason Light's right-hand man, Mike Greenberg, and he's still out there saying it. I don't know, but we'll eventually catch up to Light and be able to ask him about that. I think it's an important piece of Bucks history, and you know we love history on this podcast, Ira, but this podcast is history. Bill Curry Ford, thank you. Thank you to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaseliterestoration.com. And the official beer of every weekend is Big Storm Beer, Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. Ira, we're coming right back with another gem from the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. Say goodbye, Ira.
See you guys soon.